You're listening to the Loyalty Minute, the show that helps you build better customer loyalty and more valuable user engagement with your host, Rob Gallo.
Welcome, loyal listeners, to another episode of the Loyalty Minute. I'm your host, Rob Gallo, and today I'm eager and excited to chat with Denise Blasevic. Denise is the CEO of the S3 Agency, a creative agency that specializes in differentiating brands to maximize their power and profitability. Welcome to the show, Denise. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much, Rob. It is a pleasure to be here.
Great. So for those who don't know you, who you are or your background, perhaps you can add a little light to the agency and yourself.
Sure. I started the S3 agency 20 years ago with my partner, my business partner, Adam Schnitzler. And we started out in the luxury automotive world, working with brands like BMW of North America, who we still work with 20 years later. I'm very, very happy to say. We then progressed into brands like consumer packaged goods, like Tetley Tea. And our most recent offering over the past bunch of years is really in the health industry. So we actually recently launched a health division, S3 Health, for our pharmaceutical and biotech clients.
Nice. So what sort of things at the agency do you do for your clients?
We do full service capabilities. So we start with differentiating the brand. Everything starts with differentiating the brand. If you're doing marketing and you haven't invested the time to do this or haven't done it recently, especially on the heels of a pandemic and where the brand falls in consumers or business to business viewpoints, super important. Your marketing always works harder when you have something that is differentiated. And we like to look at it as differentiated AR. The A is, it's not augmented reality, it's reality. But the A is something that is authentic to your company, your brand, something you can live into. And the R is relevant. It's got to be relevant to your market. Otherwise, you need to change who your market is or you need to change your messaging.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. So the first question that I normally ask most guests is, what does loyalty mean to you as a consumer, Denise? So how do you think about loyalty? And perhaps you could share a story or two about a brand that you're loyal to or maybe not loyal to. And that kind of resonates with people in their minds rather than just statistics or numbers.
Rob, I think about this all the time. It's core to what I do for a living. And my goal is to help clients turn from just companies or commodities into something that is a brand that has loyalty. And when I think about that, and when I explain it to clients, when someone's loyal to a brand or, you know, a product or a service, they don't really think about price. They're not going to price switch because something's a little less. That's not the value that has been created. It's about a relationship. It's about a bond that's almost an unshakable bond. I mean, unless the brand really screws up. And if the brand screws up, they have enough equity to say, we're sorry, and keep, you know, that relationship going. And I'll give you my very, very favorite. You know, I love to talk about Disney. Everyone talks about Disney. And, you know, we work with some of the world's best brands here as well. But I like to talk about a brand that I had a relationship with very early on and still am a rabid loyal fan for. And that brand is Bombas Socks. I don't know if you're familiar with Bombas.
No.
So I first discovered them, probably like 6 years ago, I'm going to guess. And it was through traditionally, you know, I'm on social media and I'm being served up some videos from them. And here's their thing. They make socks, right? And they make socks that don't fall down. And then they have some other things. Oh, the great materials. And they have an arch that really hugs your foot and they don't have the toe line. But the thing that's really different in my mind, what made me pay attention, is that for every pair of socks they sell, they donate a pair to the homeless, because socks are the number one item that are requested by homeless shelters as far as clothing goes. You don't donate your old holy socks and you don't go out and buy new ones to donate.
Right.
And so that to me was very interesting. They were providing this service that, you know, was related to dignity. And there were other brands out there that buy one, give one, but that was an interesting thing that felt very authentic and differentiated. So I clicked through, I went to the website. It was like almost $50 for four pairs of socks. And I clicked away. Because that's nice, but I can just buy some socks and donate them. And so then I was appropriately stalked through their marketing. Yeah, so I had the differentiated message and I got emails, I got served up some programmatic ads, and it just really was pulling at my heartstrings. So I said, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I convinced myself. And this is a line that I think they should use. So Bombas, if you're listening, please feel free to use this line. It's not just four pairs of socks. It's eight pairs of socks, right? Because four pairs are going to the homeless. Then I was like, well, I guess that's not that bad. I'm going to try them and I'll have done something good. So I got the socks and I don't wear any other socks now. Those are the socks. I mean, I buy more from them. I don't just wear those pairs I bought initially, but those socks, they are great. They don't fall down. I'm a runner. They stay up while I run. I wear them under my fancy boots. I'll have like a nice outfit on. I take my boots off. People are like, oh, you're wearing, you know, whatever socks. And they continue to develop different things that keep me interested. And they serve that core mission. And so that's really meaningful to me. And I told my family about it. And at the time, my son was like 10 years old. He's like, I want Bombas. I mean, I don't even refer to my socks as socks. They're just Bombas. He goes, I want Bombas. And I said, well, you know, I'm not going to pay that kind of money for like 10-year-old stinky boy feet to have these socks on them. And he was like, well, what can I do? My husband and I were like, I don't know. Do I need sugar for a month? And he was like, all right. And so he did it. He didn't eat sugar for a month. You know, he was at his friend's house having ice cream cake. He was having yogurt. You know, it was kind of sad. And my friends were like, I can't believe he's doing this for socks. I'm like, I know, he's doing them for Bombas. So he got the Bombas. So my husband, we all were a Bombas household. And I espouse this to people all the time. I've told so many people about Bombas. And I'm sure it's not because of me alone, but because of many, many loyal rabid fans like me that they've now donated and obviously sold over 40 million pairs of socks. Wow. So what an impact they've made, you know, both as a brand and just helping out people. And so that is like the pinnacle, like how can socks be differentiated, right? And how can they not be a commodity? Well, that's a great example. And that's what loyalty is, right? I tell everyone about it.
Yeah.
On the other side of it, to me, something that is a pure commodity and shouldn't be. So around the same time period, I got served up an ad on Facebook that told me about silk pillowcases. And I don't know if you know this, Rob, but apparently if you sleep on a silk pillowcase, it's very good for your hair. It stops it from breaking. It's good for your skin. Less wrinkles, very important. So I thought, great, I'm going to get a silk pillowcase. And I went online. So I didn't really notice anything. I wasn't clicking through their ad because I wanted to go online and see if that was true. And it seemed to be true. So then I just searched silk pillowcase. It brought me to Amazon. I did the magical balancing act of reviews versus price. Found one that met in the middle. Bought these. They came to my house. I still use them. I have no idea what brand they are. So they are a pure commodity. If they sell other things, like, I don't know, silk robes or anything else, I will never know intentionally anyway. I'll never buy from them again intentionally because I don't know who they are. Even when it arrived, the package didn't have anything special about it. Just, you know, silk pillowcases. Mm-hmm. So that's such a shame because those pillowcases have served me well, but I'm unlikely to go out of my way. It's now a commodity to me. And when I buy new ones, I just go find, again, that magical balance of Amazon reviews. And instead of having a brand defined, they're a commodity. And to me, those are like the pinnacle examples of like what should be, posh silk pillowcases. Those should be a brand, not socks. But socks are what's, you know, commanding that loyalty from me.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, you know, when you talk about things that are commoditized, you know, you look at air travel, right? It's, you know, just getting from point A to point B, but some companies do it way better than others. And like, I'm a Southwest fan just because they don't have any change fees. That's a big thing for me. You know, I'm traveling all the time or whatever. And you go from one place to the other and then you want to switch, or it's just easy, right? You don't have to pay extra for bags. I took a Frontier flight one time. My wife wasn't with me. So I said, all right, this is like marketably cheaper initially, right? But then they charge you $30 for the bag and they charge you extra for this. The seats were super uncomfortable. I canceled the flight on the way back and took Southwest. I said, forget it. I'm not never doing that again.
It makes a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. So
you probably also didn't joke a lot on Frontier, like not a good sense of humor.
Yeah, exactly. So they made it a fun experience too, a relatively fun experience, as fun as it could be. As a marketing professional, obviously you do this for a living. You think about branding all the time and you think about positioning and how people should think of. So our listeners, the type of people that are listening to our program, are small to medium business owners or enterprise owners that are looking to attract and retain more customers. So I guess the idea that I want to have you get across is, what are some of the things that people can be doing immediately to increase their brand perception in a positive fashion for their existing customers?
Sure. Look, give them something to talk about. And when I say that, it's kind of like Field of Dreams, right? If you build it, they will come. Well, if you give them something to talk about it, they'll talk, right? So this is like a fun little trick in the biz, but there's a technique called micro weirding. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not. Yeah. And that is where You just take something. It's not significant. It's not significant to the product or service that you offer, but it's just something that stands out as very unexpected, and it doesn't have to be expensive. So, for example, there's a hotel in LA. I think it's still there, and they have this really unusual thing where if you were up on the pool deck and you would like an ice pop, you press this. Oh, I think you pick up a phone. Actually, it's the ice pop hotline, and they'll just say like, well, what color would you like? It's not even fancy. It's not like, oh, would you like cherry, whatever? I'll have red. And then you hang up the phone and then someone comes out and they've got like the silver plate and the white glove and they take it and they give you like one of those red ice pops, you know, the one that's like 10 cents or whatever it costs. Yeah. And people write about it in reviews and they tell people about it. You got to go. So that hotel, I mean, it's fine. It's a normal LA hotel with a pool deck. And like, that's, you know, there are lots of them, but this one has crazy amounts of reviews because they have micro weirded themselves. And that is such a great technique to think about. If you're not looking to make a huge change, but you want to try something different. Reviews, right? We live and die by reviews. Everyone's looking online for digital discovery. You want to have something that stands out. Oh, you've got to try this. And then it gives other people a chance to be brought into that community. Oh yeah. What did you get? Blue? I got blue, you know? That whole idea can be very meaningful from that perspective, and not a lot to go in on. But in terms of cost or changing who you are, it does, you know, you have to make sure it's something that fits again authentically with you, and it's something that you can live into. That it's not like you're going to do it for 1 month and then, you know, stop doing it, and now you've got these reviews saying you do that, and people go there, you don't do it, and you know, now you're working against you.
Yeah. Well, obviously, like you said initially, it has to fit with the brand. Obviously, you're not going to go to the Ritz-Carlton and have them hand you something like that. Yeah. But I get what you're saying. So a differentiator in micro weirdness. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah. And that's, you know, on the small scale. And it, to me, on the foundational, the bigger picture scale, the thing that takes more time to figure out is really, you mentioned it earlier, it's what is your brand positioning? Where do you fit? When we do brand positioning for clients, we like to look at different quadrants where we take an x-axis and y-axis, and we'll have different, you know, things on each end of the column. So maybe it's like inexpensive and, you know, ridiculously expensive. And then the other one is maybe something like, I don't know, accessible to all and very exclusive, you know, limited amount produced. And you try all kinds of different axes and you see where your competitors appear and where you are. And sometimes there's a magical space that opens up. And you go, wow, there's nobody up in this one. And then before you jump there, you have to think, maybe there's a good reason there's nobody up in this one, right? Because that would be a terrible place for us to be. Like, maybe you shouldn't have funeral homes where they have parties. Or maybe you should. Maybe there are people who are like, when I go out, I want a party. I want a funeral home that's going to arrange it. Like, I don't know. Right? You have to look at that and go, is that a space that we should be in? And that, to me, when you start looking and really digging in and taking that time, and as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, when you do that, all of your marketing efforts will pay off harder, because if you've got that space that you can live into, that differentiated branding that, again, is authentic to you, the AR, and relevant to the audience that you have or the audience that you want, then everything that you do is aligned there. Internally, the people who work for you are aligned there. They all know this is the way we do things. This is what we're working towards. And so maybe the way we term, you know, our customer care specialist should be more about like our party planners at the funeral. I don't know what it is, but all the things should really live into it. And suddenly you have this natural integration that happens that is massively pulling you away from where everyone else is.
Yeah. Differentiation is definitely key. And it obviously has to be validated by some sort of reasoning that it does make sense for your target audience. You know, your avatar of your ideal customer needs to fit into that. But I think you hit on something really important, Denise, and that is at a corporate culture level, it needs to be generally top down, or it could be bottom up, meaning it needs to be part of the ethos of how a company interacts with its clients and potential clients. That it means everything, how they answer the phone, how the emails are set up, you know. And I heard this a long time. I don't read a lot. I listen to audiobooks every chance I get. And one of them was talking about, you know, your vehicle. Let's say you're a plumber. Your vehicle shows up at someone's house and it's dirty and dingy and it's got disgusting stuff in the cab of the thing. You might think no one's going to look at it, but if they do, they're going to think that's how your overall company has that appearance. Yep. So it's important that your uniform is on right and you're, you know, speaking perfect diction in English. You know, I mean, there's a lot of different things that people forget that are the important things of building a brand.
And showing up on time. I mean, that's a huge one, right? If you do that, like, you'll stand out. You'll have business that you can't even keep up with.
So let me ask you this. That leads into my next question. What are some of the pain points that you have when it comes to, I know you've got BMW for forever, but what, you know, when you deal with, as an agency, you deal with other companies that you're trying to help them build their brand, customer loyalty. What are some of the pain points that you run into that, or like roadblocks that are just, they can't get beyond, and, you know, maybe they just know they've never come on board.
I think you actually were alluding very well to it, which is the embracing of that differentiation that can make people be loyal to you, that makes your brand special, embracing it throughout the organization at every touch point, right? If you do TV commercials or digital ads or whatever it is, the ads are not the face of your brand. And they are not your brand. They are a reflection of your, like art, right? Art is a reflection of what's going on in the world. They are a reflection of what your brand is. But when people actually start buying and engaging with your services and your products, if you're not living up to what you're promising, then, you know, all loyalty bets are off. Mm-hmm. And to me, that is the number one thing. It's not just about getting them in there. Why waste your time and your money and their time and their money if you're not going to live into the promise? And to me, the more completely you can do that, the better. So communicating it across the entire company, the entire, you know, organization, and then making sure people are empowered, not just even empowered, but expected and empowered to live into that, right? If you're this super happy, you know, funeral home that does parties, and you've got a really grumpy person who is, I don't know, anywhere in your organization. Like, this is where culture comes in. This is where those core values are important. If you don't actually exhibit that internally, how can you expect somebody to come in and be loyal to your company? You can't. You really can't.
Yeah. It's funny you say that. A funeral home, one of my best friends for the last 40 years, is 45 years, geez, owns a funeral home up in New York.
Yeah. Well, maybe he wants to put the fun in funerals.
Yeah, I tell him, you know, you should open up down here. This is God's waiting room in Florida. Yeah, but, you know, it's funny, too, but I don't see as many funeral homes here in Florida as I did when I lived in New York. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's just a cultural thing. I don't know. Or everybody ships bodies back to New York when they.
Maybe that's what it is. I'm thinking about it. I don't either when I'm down there.
Yeah, I'm on a main strip right here in West Palm Beach. And I don't see any of them. I don't know. Maybe they're hidden or something like that. They don't want to scare people.
Well, it's like Disney, right? Nobody dies at Disney. Maybe that's what it is. Nobody dies in Florida.
Yeah, that's true. Can you think of it a success story with a client that you've had that you can kind of not get into specific numbers, but a case study of increased loyalty as a result of some of these positive efforts that you would have implemented?
Oh, sure. Well, one of the brands that we work with is Rao's Homemade Sauces. I don't know if you've ever had Rao's.
No. And the reason I don't have socks either, I'm in Florida, I'm in flip-flops all the time. So,
but sauces, you know, tomato sauce, come on.
No. I was talking about socks before. Okay, yeah. Sauces. Now, all right. Now you got me.
So Rao's, that you can get them in the grocery store, and they are, they're more expensive than most of the tomato sauces, the spaghetti sauces, but they are incredibly delicious. I mean, like you're at a restaurant delicious, like you went to, like, there's a little old Italian lady cooking in, you know, the restaurant and serving you delicious. And that's pretty amazing.
She calls it gravy, by the way, the old Italian lady.
Gravy, I know. Well, it depends where you're from though. I'm half Italian. We always said that. But, so yeah, it's very funny. Also, you drop the last syllable of anything that's Italian, right? The cavadil.
Yeah, sure.
But so in working with them, we have really helped to define their online customer journey. And this, we started working with them shortly before the pandemic. So it's very interesting that, you know, everything, of course, happened in the past 18, 19 months. But as we had that online digital discovery journey happening, it allowed people to sort of see that they were different, to understand that there was a reason to try this very expensive sauce. Because the insight we had was, okay, if you're going to spend $2.99 on Ragu, or you're going to spend, you know, $8.99 on Reyes. Okay, it's, you know, multiples. However, it's not that much more money, right? Like from, so if I'm willing to try this and I try it, once they try it, they're hooked because it's an amazing flavor. Like the differentiation in taste is incredible. So they had a differentiated product. We just had to do something to get them differentiated online so that people could discover them, feel what they would, you know, sort of be working towards if they actually tried the product. Once we got them, you know, to try the product, no wonder the brand has grown dramatically to a leadership position in the category. This is a brand that, again, is the premium player. And now, you know, you've got something that's got significant volume growth. That's you know, usually don't have those things together. You know, usually you can have one or the other. And that just speaks to loyalty commanded by the brand delivering on what it promises and having the marketing enable that digital discovery of this sensorial product.
Nice. Yeah, I love stories like that. Success stories, when it comes to loyalty, it reaffirms the fact that people will be loyal if you give them reasons to be loyal. And that's they will stay with you. Again, it goes way beyond price. I don't think about price in a lot of instances to brands that I'm loyal to. You know, I could probably get more cash back with another credit card, but I use American Express and I have since 1984, I think. And I have specific stories and I don't want to bore my listeners because I tell it, you know, probably every two or three episodes of why exactly I'm loyal to this brand. But, you know, it comes down to their customer service and things like that. So again, I could probably make a lot more money cash back wise from all these other, you know, 3%, 5% cash back on everything things, but I don't even think about it.
Amex does a great job, right? They live into what they have created. They didn't hook you and then stop being great at those things. On the other hand, they've gone and they keep developing new things to make your experience even better, right? If you switch credit cards, that's work. When you change something, it's work and it's uncertainty. Why should you have that when these guys continue to deliver? They deliver for you over and over and over again, and you feel special and you're comfortable in what they do. Like, that's a key, right? It's a relationship. Ultimately, loyalty is a relationship. If you want to build what we like to call vicious loyalty, you have to be viciously loyal to your customers.
Yeah.
You have to be thinking about what's going to make their experience better all the time and deliver on that.
Yeah, for sure. And they do. Like I said, it's a relationship that I appreciate because, you know, when I call, I get them on the phone. They know who I am, I guess, based on the amount of money that my wife and I spend on this.
Good or bad.
But anyway, all right. So, you know, I could talk about loyalty and branding for forever, but generally it's the 20, 25 minute listening time frame that I know our listeners appreciate. We've asked them and that's what they said. So a couple of quick questions. We're going to wrap it up. What sort of actionable advice could you give right now, Denise, that our listeners could do or use that would help increase their loyalty to retain more customers?
I would ask your clients what it is that they like very best about you, about what you deliver, and try to do more of that. Also ask them what's one thing you don't do that you can do. Find that number one thing and make that happen. They will feel listened to. First of all, just asking them makes them feel special, right? And there's another, I don't know if you've talked about NPS, Net Promoter Score, on your show before. Net Promoter Score, the number one way to measure whether or not you're hitting it home with your customers. Very easy to implement. You know, are they detractors? Are they people that are pushing loyalty out there and spreading it for you? And what can you do to get the middle of the road people to do more of that? And serve them. Don't worry about the people that aren't happy with you. That's not who you're trying to please.
Exactly. Yeah, that's great. Great advice. So if listeners want to get a hold of you, Denise, what's the best way they could do that?
Oh, the best way to do that is, well, go to my website for my agency, which is thes3agency.com. The, T-H-E, like the word the. S like Sam, 3 like the number 3, agency.com. Or they can check me out on LinkedIn, Denise Blasevic. Just like it sounds, Blasevic.
Great stuff. Well, Denise, listen, I want to thank you for your time. I also want to thank our listeners for being loyal listeners and investing some of their valuable time with us. If you feel you receive value from the show, we'd appreciate a 5-star review on your favorite podcast streaming service. If you think you know someone who might also receive value from listening to the podcast, please do share. To reference this and other Loyalty Minute episodes, please visit theloyaltyminute.com. Enjoy. Thanks, Denise.
Thank you, Rob. Take care.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for your next edition of the Loyalty Minute.